Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Today is the 29th of December, the 363rd day of 2025. We've almost made it to 2026, folks. Our cold snap of the past week showed some of us once again how tough a task mistress Mother Nature can be. Friday morning, a little before dawn, I looked out the upstairs bedroom window to the latest additional layer of snow, noticed three deer trails, and then looked 100 feet away to the edge of the woods where a young buck, a young doe, and a fawn were slowly browsing for breakfast. According to my mother, she was shoveling snow the morning of the day she delivered me during the first week of January so many years ago. My father was in Korea, his second foray into harm's way since joining the military 7 years earlier at the tail end of World War II. Aside from 2 winters I spent in California in the late 1990s, frozen water, in one or another of its natural forms, has been part of my life for over 7 decades. We may yet have the mild winter that some folks would like to see. In the meantime, we'll probably manage to do whatever needs to be done to survive the weather that arrives. The spin of the world within its atmosphere, activated by our nearest star, immediately calls into question the business of the seasons, and therefore time. Heating with wood is also something I've done for decades, so the opening lines of T.S. Eliot's Burnt Norton, number one of his 4 quartets, holds special significance for me. Time present and time past are both perhaps present in time future, and time future contained in time past. If all time is eternally present, all time is unredeemable. Hence, memory becomes a flexibly recurring thing, so that with enough space to accommodate time and sufficient rudimentary tools to assist us, we are able to see the beginning of our universe, billions of years after its initial emergence. Within the past month, one of our great coastal Maine publications, Commercial Fisheries News, gave us its final issue. Founded by Robin Alden and subsequently run by Brian Robbins, CFN was an incredible newspaper and magazine all in one, providing a beacon of light and a community of warmth in the tough environs of the Gulf of Maine and beyond. Now, 2 days shy of the new year, darkness gradually wanes, as Mary Jo Bang explains in her poem, It's Getting Lighter. Snug inside the design that is myself, there the disappearing birds, stained glass bits hurled against the sky, pierce the smoke that waits for night to pry the window open and allow every past absence to enter. Oh, holy mother of moths, brighten the light that fills the scene where I fall. Let me be caught by any who stay standing by, watching. For every day we celebrate the beginning of new lives and find some comfort in our hope for the future. Among the abundantly famous birthdays today are those of Charles McIntosh, Charles Goodyear, Andrew Johnson, Pablo Casals, Billy Mitchell, Claire Dodd, Mary Tyler Moore, John Voight, Ed Bruce, Ray Thomas, Rick Danko, Marianne Faithfull, Ted Danson, Yvonne Elliman, Jennifer Ely, Jude Law, Catherine Moaning, and Allison Brie. And of noteworthy historical significance, today in 1170, English Archbishop of Canterbury Thomas Becket was assassinated before the high altar of Canterbury Cathedral by 4 knights. Today in 1852, Emma Snodgrass was arraigned in Boston, Massachusetts because she was a woman wearing trousers during a time when activists were calling for rational dress for women, including bloomers and trousers, as an alternative to long, bulky skirts. Today in 1890, U.S. Army troops carried out the Wounded Knee Massacre, the last armed conflict between the United States and the Plains tribes, during which 250 to 300 Lakota men, women, and children were killed, and at least 25 U.S. soldiers died, likely from friendly fire. heavenward as we approach the end of the year, tomorrow evening and the evening after in the southwest, southeast sky around midnight, our first quarter moon will be waxing gibbous and appear to be near the Pleiades star cluster and the bright orange star Aldebaran, the fiery eye of the constellation Taurus the Bull. On Thursday, January 1st, in the eastern sky at twilight, our bright waxing gibbous moon will appear to lie near Jupiter and the bright stars Capella, Betelgeuse, and Aldebaran, along with the twin stars Castor and Pollux of the constellation Gemini the Twins. And overnight on Friday to Saturday, we'll have January's full moon, the Wolf Moon, a supermoon also known as the Center Moon, the Cold Moon, the Frost Exploding Moon, the Freeze-Up Moon, the Severe Moon, the Hard Moon, the Canada Goose Moon, the Great Moon, the Greetings Moon, and the Spirit Moon. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this second full week of winter, the last half of 2025, and the first half week of 2026, and wishing everyone a happy new year. Keep the faith.